It's 24 to 31. I think you said 34? Here we go. John 20, 24. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name.
Thanks, Luke. Please leave your Bibles open there. I have a confession to make that I forgot to put my slides in with the verses in there. I've been away this weekend at a ministry retreat and just must have relaxed too much, to be honest. So they're not in there. So I'll just say sermon for that. When Luke was reading, I was like, "Oh, why are the slides not up?" Oh, that's right. I didn't put them in. I've got a Bible up here if anyone wants one. Anyone need a Bible? No, okay. I don't. Phil's asking if he wants me to put them up there. They're actually on my computer. It's complicated. Anyway, I just want to assure you that I made them. And that's what counts, right? I made them, didn't neglect that. They're just not there. They were better slides than normal, actually, to be honest. And I really regret that they're not there. No, they weren't. They're the same. Anyway, sorry. Forgive me. I'll make sure that I do them next week. Anyway, so this is our last fat chat with Jesus in John's Gospel. So I've really liked being in John's Gospel this term, but it kind of finishes this week. But next week, we're digging into one of my favourite parts of the Bible, Luke 15. We're going to dig into the story of the lost son, but also the lost younger son. There's also the lost older brother, and they usually call it the prodigal son, but Tim Keller, who's really smart, he calls it the prodigal God, because it's actually not about kind of the sons being reckless. It's actually about God being reckless. And it's really cool. So next 2 weeks, when I look at that, and I really love that part of the Bible. And then we have our Christmas carols. So Christmas carols will be out on the grass for all of church, and that will kind of steal the 6 p.m. service away kind of to outside. So we'll kind of miss out on our regular gathering together, but we'll gather together with lots of others. And it'll be a great time to kind of bring your friends along. It'll be kind of pretty casual, but also the gospel will hopefully be explained clearly. That depends on whether I do that or not. But anyway, but pray for me in doing that. And then after that, we kind of do like the Christmas series, like kind of working through Luke up to Christmas. And kind of there's a Christmas Eve service, a Christmas Day service. And you know what day Boxing Day is this year? It's a Sunday. 3 days of church in a row. What a beautiful gift to all of you. Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, Boxing Day. That's my gift to you. We are kind of, yeah, any questions? No, I shouldn't say that. Any questions about any of that? Anyway, how about I pray and then we'll get actually into the talk. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you love us. Thank you so much for your son, Jesus. Thank you so much for John's Gospel. Father, we pray that as we dig into it tonight, we pray that you'd help us to understand it. Father, help us to bring our doubts before you. And Father, help us to stop doubting and believe that your son, Jesus, is the Messiah, is the Christ, that he is your son, that he's God in the flesh. Father, help us to believe that. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this week, as I've kind of already mentioned, I went down south to the Sunshine Coast, to be precise. I went to see my mum for a kind of a night in Karoi, just near Noosa there. And then I went on a ministry retreat with some mates from kind of who are in ministry. They're from Brisbane and kind of in New South Wales, but the New South Wales one, he didn't come, obviously. He came via Zoom, which was kind of a little bit depressing. But anyway, it was good. It was a good ministry retreat. But one of the things about travelling is that there's lots of dead time. You know, lots of time when you're waiting for the plane, lots of time when you're waiting for the shuttle, lots of time when you're a 30-year-old grown man waiting for your mum to pick you up. And I tried to be good, you know. I tried to read my book on my phone. I tried to read the book called Truth on Fire. If you're looking for something to read, that's by Adam Ramsey. It's actually a good book about the truth and how charismatics get it wrong and how prezzies get it wrong. But if you could kind of bring the two together, you'd have some sort of marvelous thing. It's kind of about that anyway. But it's kind of a good book. But you know what? I got kind of bored with that, and so I started scrolling through Facebook, and I came across some crazy stories, and they were very interesting. The first one was about a TikToker who claims that he's a time traveller and that he's actually in the year 2027. I'm not sure if you've seen that. And he's kind of the sole surviving person in the future, and he kind of sends videos back to kind of talk about how that happened. But everyone seems to kind of love picking holes in his videos. A video recently, a bird flew through. And so everyone's like, well, if you're the only survivor, how come there's birds and stuff like that? Anyway, they're kind of taking the mickey out of this guy, but he's a time traveller. And so I kind of, you know, I appreciated that story. But another story kind of made me laugh as well. It was about a boy genius who claims to be from Mars. And he's come to rescue us. And his name is Boriska. And he's from Russia. And his claims actually sound a lot like the Terminator. Yeah, the Terminator comes back in time to rescue us. I was like, this kid's watched the Terminator. Anyway, just kind of made his own little twist on it. But anyway, his parents don't sort of kind of seem to shut it down. They're kind of like, okay, you know, Boriska, you're being a little bit crazy there. They're like, no, he's really smart. He's always been advanced. And the parents didn't teach him anything about Mars. He just kind of worked it out all him for himself. It's kind of like his parents are oblivious to this thing called Google, where you can kind of find out all things about all things, particularly about Mars. Anyway, at the end of the story, there was a poll, right? A poll, do you think this kid from Mars is telling the truth? And there were three options, and it was kind of a UK newspaper, it's called the Sun or something. And these are the options. One, yes, the story seems legit. Two, don't be daft. It's not really an Australian saying, is it? I'm sure what it means, but I think the answer, the short of it's no. Three, I'm open-minded. Now, obviously Justine is open-minded. Now, you might have guessed where I sit with this, where I was thinking about Boriska, man, whatever, the Terminator. Anyway, it's pretty crazy. But I guess the thing we could kind of need to remember, if we've kind of been around Christianity for a while, is that the claims of Christianity are actually pretty crazy as well. Jesus rising from the dead, that's actually a pretty crazy claim. And I wonder what option you would choose if you were asked to rate whether or not you think Christianity is real. Which option would you choose? Yes, it seems legit. No, don't be daft. Or three, I'm open-minded. Well, tonight, as we have one last fat chat with Jesus, we're going to meet a guy who actually doubts that Jesus rose from the dead. But at the end of the passage, after having a real encounter with the historical Jesus, he believes. He believes Jesus is who he says he is. Which begs the question for us, what are we going to do with Jesus? What are we going to do with the real historical Jesus? Well, please have your Bibles open at John chapter 20, and I really say that because there are no verses on the screen, so make sure you've got something in front of you to check what I'm saying is true. And our first point tonight is that Thomas doubts that Jesus rose back to life. Let's pick up the action from verse 24. It says this. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now, kind of leading up to this bit in John chapter 20, Mary Magdalene has seen an empty tomb. Peter and John have run to the tomb to see to see it empty. And we kind of find out from a bit of trivia that Aaron might have done that John is actually faster than Peter because he gets there first. But anyway, Jesus is privately appeared to Mary Magdalene, and he's already appeared to his disciples. and most likely about 10 of them, because Judas, we know that Judas isn't there. He betrayed Jesus, and so he's dead now. But we also find out in our passage that Thomas, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. Maybe he was out getting the takeaway, maybe it was Joy Thai that night, and so he was out. But it was no chance. It was no kind of chance event. Thomas not being present will help us with our doubts about Jesus. Now, the other disciples tell Thomas that they've seen the Lord, they've seen Jesus, they've seen the risen Jesus. But Thomas doesn't believe them. And he says, unless I see the wounds, and unless I touch the wounds, I will not believe. Thomas doubts that Jesus is alive. And remember last week we saw that Jesus is really dead. The soldiers didn't actually break Jesus' legs because he was already dead. They just kind of jabbed the spear into his side and a sudden flow of blood and water came out, clearly telling us that Jesus was in fact dead. Well, Thomas knows that. And so he wants to see clear evidence that Jesus is alive. Clear evidence it's the same Jesus. And he makes it really clear. He won't believe unless he sees and unless he touches the wounds. Now, Thomas, he's often referred to as doubting Thomas, you know, because he won't believe. But that's probably a bit harsh. Most of us probably would have been exactly the same as Thomas. But certainly where he's up to in the story so far. Thomas doesn't believe that Jesus actually rose from the dead. Now, I'm not sure what your doubts are when it comes to Christianity. You might have a whole range of questions and doubts that you have. Well, this week as I spent time with my family, I asked them what their doubts were about Christianity. And it made for some good phone conversation and some good conversations over dinner. And I got a variety of answers. But none of them were actually about Jesus' life and death and resurrection. They were all about Christians. They said, actually, it's Christians that make them doubt that Christianity is real. My brother has had some pretty bad experiences with church growing up. My brother-in-law says he hates that Christians make following Jesus just so difficult, so complicated, when the Bible seems to make it so simple. You might have similar doubts to my family. Christians are actually what make you kind of doubt that Christianity is real. My family reckons that their friends have very similar doubts as well. Maybe you're similar, or maybe you have your own kind of range of doubts. Maybe you doubt that Jesus really was a real historical guy who lived and who died and who rose again. Maybe you doubt that God is good and loving, the world is a mess. Maybe you doubt God's plan for your life. What is God actually doing with your life? Maybe Christianity just seems irrelevant to your life. What's the point of it? Who cares? Maybe you just want to keep having sex with your boyfriend or girlfriend, and so you don't actually want to take this too seriously because you'd have to think about that stuff then. Or maybe you don't want to be labelled a Christian because of some of the things that the Bible actually says. Maybe you're really afraid of being labelled a bigot or something like that. Friends, whatever your doubts or issues might be about Christianity, we need to bring them to God's ultimate expression of himself. We need to bring these doubts to the historical Jesus, to his life and to his death and to his resurrection. Thomas doubts that Jesus rose from the dead, but Jesus, who is God in the flesh, is about to lovingly move towards Thomas, and that brings us to our second point tonight. That Jesus assures Thomas that he really is alive. Let's pick up the story again from verse 26. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Now we find out that roughly a week after Jesus' first appearance, and the first appearance happened on Easter Sunday, this time the disciples, including Thomas, are locked inside a house. The first time they're locked in a house, now they're locked in a house. is because they're scared. They're scared that the Jewish authorities will come after them just like they came after Jesus. But somehow Jesus just kind of appears in the room, kind of just kind of pretty weirdly. The doors are all locked and kind of just appears in the room. I reckon if I was there, I'd be freaking out. But Jesus just says, hey guys, just chill out. Peace. It's just me. Relax. And then Jesus says to Thomas, touch and see my wounds. It's actually really cool to see the way that Jesus actually kind of shows himself to Thomas. He says to Thomas, see my wounds, touch them. And then he says, stop doubting and believe. Now it's hard to exactly know that the tone of Jesus' words here. Is it gentle, like he's saying to Thomas, hey Thomas, stop doubting and believe? Or is it a bit more harsh than that? Is it kind of like, Thomas, stop doubting and believe? Is it more like that? Well, it's probably somewhere in the middle. Jesus is gently but firmly telling Thomas to believe. Like imagine if you had a good grandfather, I'm not sure if you do or you don't, but imagine him telling you to do something, like in kind of like that gentle and stern kind of way. That's how I imagine Jesus is speaking right here. And then Thomas says, my Lord and my God. Now, the word Lord, it has different meanings in the Bible. It can mean like master, it can mean Christ, it can mean God. But when Thomas says, my God, well, it's pretty clear what he's saying, isn't it? He gets who Jesus is. Jesus is God in the flesh, and he's done lots of things to prove who he is. And the resurrection kind of seals the deal. Thomas believes that Jesus is who he says he is. And after Thomas's confession, Jesus says in verse 29, you've believed because you've seen me. Then he says, blessed are those who have not seen me, but believe. Now, I think we can make the mistake of thinking that people like us, people who like us who might believe in Jesus without seeing him, that we're more blessed than Thomas. But I think that's a misreading of the text. I think Jesus is saying, you know what, people who believe without seeing me are blessed as well, just like you're blessed, Thomas, for believing in me. But if we can't physically see Jesus, how can we actually believe in him? Well, that's why the Apostle John has recorded these events in his gospel. In John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, it says this. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. John has recorded these events in his gospel so that we might see who Jesus is. We might believe the claims about Jesus. Jesus is the Christ, the long-awaited King. Jesus is the Son of God. He's God in the flesh. And if we believe in that, we can have life, life forever. And that life actually starts the moment that we believe in Jesus. Jesus graciously answers Thomas's doubts by appearing to him and gently, yet firmly telling him to stop doubting and believe. Well, Jesus graciously answers our questions about himself by getting his disciples and others who spent time with eyewitnesses to record his life. We have four accounts of Jesus' life. Matthew, most likely written by Levi, one of Jesus' disciples. Mark, written kind of by this guy called John Mark, who kind of writes down Peter's account of Jesus' life. Luke, this doctor who kind of talks to lots of eyewitnesses but traveled with Paul. And John, who's, you know, the apostle who's writing the gospel that we're looking at. And these were written so that we might believe that Jesus is who he says he is. Now, I'm not sure if you know who a guy called Lee Strobel's is. He's a pretty well-known Christian author, and he's probably particularly known for writing a book called A Case for Christ. He was a pretty famous journalist in America, and he was an atheist, and so he decided to kind of dig into Jesus' life. He was going to dig into Jesus' life to disprove it. But after digging into the claims of Christianity for about 2 years, he actually came to believe in Jesus. And since that time, he's written a number of books defending the Christian faith. through the Gospels, this guy Lee Strobel's, had an encounter with Jesus. He had some fat chats with Jesus, as it were, and he came to believe. Now, I'm not sure where you're at with Jesus, but if you still have some big questions about him, I think Jesus would gently and humbly say to you, check out the claims of my life in the Bible, read it, but particularly check out the accounts of my life in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Jesus would say, dig into it, process it, see who I am. But if you've been kind of checking out Jesus for a while, if you've actually dug into Jesus' claims for a bit of a period of time, well, then Jesus might gently say to you, but firmly say to you, stop doubting and believe. And know that the moment that you believe in Jesus, know that you have life forever. Even though you die, you will live, and you'll have life and life to the full in this life and the life to come. Well, this term we've been having some fat chats with Jesus. We've been digging into the things that Jesus said to help us get to know what God is like. Back in the beginning, in the first week, we saw that Jesus is the Word. He was present at creation. Jesus, God in the flesh. Jesus, the Son of God. He's in the closest possible relationship with the Father. We've been engaging with Jesus to see what God the Father is like. And it's my hope and prayer that as we've done that, it's actually helped you to see who God is. If you actually don't believe in Jesus, I hope it's helped you to know what God is like. And I hope that you continue to check him out. Keep digging into to Jesus, the historical man who lived and who died and who rose again. But if you already do believe in Jesus, I really hope this time in John's Gospel has helped you to grow in your relationship with him and your relationship with your Father in heaven. I hope it's helped you to overcome some of your doubts, some of your concerns, so that you're fully convinced of who Jesus is, so that you want to live for him wholeheartedly, even if it comes at a great cost to you. I hope that it helps you to live out your faith. I hope that it helps you to enjoy living for Jesus, even in the hard times. I hope that it helps you to point others to Jesus. My family, that they might be wrong, but a lot of people potentially don't believe in Jesus because of Christians. People who say that they follow Jesus when really they don't. Now, every single person has inconsistencies in their life. My family members have inconsistencies in their life. And the reality is, all Christians are hypocrites. We all struggle with sin, and if you say that you don't, you're a liar. We all still struggle, and we'll struggle until the day that we die. But if you do believe in Jesus, can I encourage you to keep digging into Jesus' life and death and resurrection so that you're constantly reminded of who Jesus is and of his claims? Be reminded that Jesus actually reveals the God of creation to us. This world, the devil wants us to be a lukewarm Christian. Not only will you be not really living for God, overlooking lots of sin in your life, but it actually will put others off believing in Jesus. Friends, if you believe in Jesus, can I encourage you to stop letting your little doubts get in the road? Can I encourage you to believe that Jesus actually did really rise from the dead and one day he's coming back to judge the world? Can I encourage you to get on with living for Jesus with all of your life? Let Jesus' life shape every decision that you make. Well, let's pray that will be the case. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the way that you speak to us in it. Father, thanks for the way that Jesus is so humble and gracious with Thomas. But thanks for the way that he tells him to stop doubting and believe. Father, all of us here tonight might be in different places. If we're just checking you out for the first time, checking out Jesus for the first time, or maybe we've kind of checked him out for a few times, help us just to keep digging into him, digging into the Gospels. Father, if we've kind of been looking into Jesus for a long time, but haven't really made up our mind, Father, help us to listen to Jesus' words. Father, help us to stop doubting and to believe. And Father, if we do trust in you, please help us to actually live for you. Father, we know that we all fall short. We know that we all sin. But Father, please, by your Spirit, please work in us that we might actually enjoy living for you, that we might enjoy pointing others to your Son, Jesus, that we might actually give up our lives to love and serve you and your people. Father, please do a number on us. Please work in our hearts and our minds by your Spirit so that we might want to give up our lives to love and serve you. And we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.